Your Bibles, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 4.
Just do it.
Amen.
I think that's my motto in life. Just do it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You know, I believe that God has called Janice and I to Poland. Very definitely called me. Janice just has to follow. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about Poland and bring the message. Poland has around 39 million souls. 39 million people are going to pass out in eternity going either to heaven or hell, probably hell. There's a number of large cities, Warsaw being the largest, and Warsaw is where we'll be going. Warsaw is the capital of Poland, has around 1,600,000 souls in it. Łódź is another town, about 850,000, very close to Warsaw, not too far. Krakow, 744,000 souls. Wrocław has 640,000. Poznan has 190,000, or 590,000. And Gdańsk has about 500,000. So there's a number of cities, large cities, that throughout Poland. Poland is about the size of New Mexico, if you can imagine the size of New Mexico. Small country, but lots of people in it. 39 million souls in Poland that have religion, that have just gotten some type of freedom from a political source, but they have not known the freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. They have religion, but they don't have a Savior. They have the outward adoring, but they don't have the power of God. They know not the resurrection, and these things move us to go to Poland. Over 6 million people died in Poland during the World War. 6 million people. 3 million of them were Polish Jews, and 3 million were also just Poles. Now you remember in Poland was where they had most of the concentration camps. What is behind that was Catholicism. Whereas maybe in Russia, Don could be in more of authority, they emphasize atheism. Whereas the communism in Poland, the Catholic Church fought against that, and the Catholic Church retained its power in Poland. In fact, the Catholic Church was a pain in the side to the communist government in Poland. And hence, because of this, the government that has taken over in Poland are still like old commies. I mean, they just changed political party, changed their hat is all they've done. They are willing to allow other groups that are not Catholic come into Poland and preach the gospel. So this is a tremendous open door. Now, some of the behind the scenes, I can't prove all this. I've read some things. I've done some studying on some things. But supposedly, while the solitary movement was going on, Ronald Reagan, the Pope, and some other people were together pulling some strings and doing some things to make sure that got through. And because of this, Americans now are allowed to go into Poland without visas. You can go in there just a passport, and you can go in there as an American citizen and spend 3 months doing whatever you want. And there is freedom of speech as far as we can tell in Poland, a very open country, and one of the reasons we decided to go there. The literacy rate, we're not going to be dealing like in Mexico. I think Bill mentioned a lot of poverty in Mexico. Poles would consider themselves poor when they compare themselves with Germany or compare themselves with perhaps France or the United States. Well, yes, everybody's poorer than the United States. But you compare them with Mexico or all of Latin America or Africa or most of Southeastern Asia, then you would say that Poland's a very rich country, very wealthy country. Just the literacy rate ought to tell you something, 99 point something reading. I have some statistics I got out of the book. You can take statistics with a drop of a hat, but it'll give you some idea of what we're dealing with in Poland. And I took three different countries, Poland, Mexico, and the United States. We're familiar with these countries. In Poland, there are 39 million people. 94% of those people are Roman Catholics. 2% are Orthodox, many of them Russian Orthodox. 2% are non-religion, that is that they make no claim to any religion. 0.5%, that's half of 1%, that's not even 1%, 0.5% are supposedly Protestant. Of those Protestants, 0.15% are evangelical, what we would call perhaps Christian. Now these are just guesstimates, granted. But you have to understand, now, when I tell you this, compare it to the other countries. 77 known missionaries in Poland, that's 1 per 500,000. One missionary that's going over there with the objective to get the gospel to these people, 1 per 500,000. Now I'm going to go down through the list and I'll come back and talk about these things. Mexico, on the other hand, has twice the size of Poland as far as population, 89 million souls. 87.5% are Roman Catholic. 1.5% are Jehovah's Witnesses. Interesting. One of the faster growing groups in Mexico and around the world. 5.3% are non-religions, 5.2% are Protestant, and in Mexico about 4.3% are evangelical, or what we would call believers or Christians. Now, interesting, 1,891 missionaries in Mexico. That's 1 per 47,000, let's say. Now, notice the difference. 1 per 47,000 in Mexico, 1 per 500,000 in Poland. The United States has 258 million souls. 28% Roman Catholic, 4% Mormon and Jehovah's Witness, 8.7% non-religion, and 51.3% Protestant, and about 30% they would consider as Christian. Actually, the United States also receives missionaries. You know that? 2,320 missionaries from other countries have come to the United States to win us to the Lord. And that's about 1 per 107,000. Now, the United States has the advantage, being 30% Christian, they have the advantage of many people out there talking about the Lord and preaching. And churches everywhere. Now, this presents a need. But you know there's a need everywhere. There's a need right here. I mean, we're receiving missionaries. People think, you know, this is not a Christian nation. We've got to send missionaries to the United States. There's a need here. But you know, relatively speaking, when we take these numbers, you know, I could have stayed here in the United States. I had a perfectly good ministry. In fact, Linda was fixing to take off and leave me everything here. I'd have had a honcho around here. Huh? Things would have been different. Maybe. No, but what I'm saying is, what is it that moves a missionary? What is it, better stated, what is it that moves me to leave the United States and go to Mexico and preach the gospel? There's a greater need. That's one thing. I find that in the scripture. Paul said, I want to go where Christ is not named. Now, I don't know that we can do that in our world today. We can go to certain people that have never heard the gospel. But I don't know that we can go to places where he's not been named, or would it be worth to go to a tribe of say, yes, it'd be worth it, obviously, but for me, would it be worth it to go to, say, a tribe of 2,500 people, where I can go to a nation of 39 million people? You understand what I'm saying? You know what we're dealing with today? We're dealing with people that have a polluted gospel. I feel for people that have never heard. I feel for them. I also feel for people that think they're going to heaven and they're not going to make it. You know, there's some verses in the Bible that tug on my heart and my soul. One of them is found in Matthew, where these people find themselves in heaven saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done things in thy name? And Jesus replies, hey, I never knew you. They carried the banner of Christ. They carried the name of Christ, but they knew not Christ. Or better yet, Jesus knew them not. He said, I never knew you. This moves me. These are things that move me. Now, you say you need a call of God. Every time I read the Bible, I see a call of God. I read through the Bible, he says, go, 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 do it, do it, do it. Rise up and go. Hey, I take the Bible personally when I read it. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, that's a personal command for me. I don't know how you read the Bible, but I read that. To me, God is speaking to me. God has never called me on the telephone. I knew a missionary that, you know, God supposedly received, you know, call. You know, he's never, you know, contacted me through CompuServe or American Online. But he does speak to me through this book. Amen. In this book, when I read it, God is concerned about souls. Amen. And so, I feel called to go to Poland. Will I succeed? I don't know. That's up to God, isn't it? You know, I might go out, you know, I feel called to get out of the boat. You know, some people can just sit in the boat and they're content. Hey, fine, sit in the boat. But I just feel that need to get out of the boat to go to Jesus. I just have that moving on me that I must do these things. Went to Poland, and one of the brothers there in Poland, we met in Warsaw, where Bill and I attended church. He said, you know, if you want to see a lot of souls saved, go to Romania. You don't want to come to Poland because it's a very hard country. People just don't get saved. I mean, if you want to go where thousands are supposedly being saved, go to Romania. You know, that just moves me. Not to go to Romania, but moves me to go to Poland. Hey, I don't want to ride a wave, I want to make a wave. Now that's my character. That's what God has put in me. It's been that way all along. I don't want to go to the easy, I want to go to the hard. Whereas some people would give up, God, in His mercy and His grace, has put something within me that I don't want to give up. Hey, I think by the grace of God, I can continue to march on when things aren't going well. And that's my message tonight. He says, neglect not the gift that is in me. You may call this presumption, pride, Self-righteousness is a lot of names, but you know, I believe God has given me a gift. I can't shake it. I cannot deny it. God has given me some things, and therefore I cannot neglect those things that He's given to me. I'm convinced there are people out there that can learn languages much better than I. I'm convinced that as far as abilities go, there are people out there that have greater abilities. I'm convinced that if people out there, some of you tonight, would surrender yourselves, you could do a much better job than I can. I'm convinced of that. But I'm also convinced that God has given me something. And I am bound by these scriptures not to neglect that gift. You know what? When I went to Mexico, I was in debt, tremendous debt. I was counseled not to go until I got out of that debt. But I went anyway. And I've been down in Mexico for 10 years, and about 9 of those years were tough. We're talking about financially. Now this last year, hey, I'm riding the wave. I got some churches under my belt. I got some experience under my belt. Hey, I'm up there, you know, at the top again. That's, you know, speaking carnally. Hey, you know, when they send missionaries down, they send them down to me and Bill to train. Hey, things are going pretty good. I finally found a landlady that was reasonable. That wasn't changing my rent every 3 months. This landlady actually liked me. Hey, things were going pretty good. And now, you know, I'm down to 8 suitcases again. Don't even have a truck anymore. Can't even get around. You know, I'm not going to Poland because it's easier. I'm going to Poland because God has given me a gift, and I would be negligent in not exercising that gift. Now, what is this word neglect? Well, it talks about disregarding. That is to treat as unworthy. That is to pay no attention to. That is to leave undone through carelessness. That is to forget or to ignore or to overlook or to miss. I would ask you tonight, I believe that God has given each and every one of us a gift. And maybe not in a specific ministry, that type of gift, but very definitely has given us the gift of eternal life. And yet, we find many of ourselves neglecting that life. Does Poland have another option? Does Mexico have another option? Does Honduras have another option? Do the people of San Antonio have another option? Is there another way to heaven? You've heard these messages time and time and time again. How many people here tonight, this is the first time you've ever been to a mission conference? Just raise your hand real quick. First time. This is your first mission conference. One person. You know these things. You know that outside of Jesus Christ, there is no Savior. You know in religion, religion will not take you to heaven. Religion will deceive you and give you a false confidence and take you into the lake of fire. You know these things. You know that there's only one way, and Jesus is that way. And you know people must go and tell. I'm willing to go. These other missionaries are willing to go. Perhaps God has not called you to go. Perhaps your gift is to give. Perhaps your gift is to pray. I don't know what your ministry is. I know that God has given me something that I have to do, and I don't want to neglect that. Notice what he says here. He says, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Have you given yourself over to mission? Perhaps you're not a missionary, but has it consumed you? Has it become part of your life to support mission? Is your focus on life what you can get out of this world and things that are going to burn up? Or is your focus on life the things that are the focus of God's life, the desire of God to see lost people saved? Jesus said, pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth labor. Not everybody can go. Not everybody will go. That's a reality. And some of these things I was reading about Poland, you get into the World War II because that's a big emphasis in Poland. You know, that brought me back to thinking about, you know, our real loss over there in the beginning of the war when the American soldiers lost in the Battle of Bataan over there in the Philippines. You know why they lost in that battle? Was it they weren't trained properly? No, every one of them soldiers were trained properly. Was it that they were not chosen or enlisted? No, every one of them was enlisted. Was it they would not go? No, they're already there. Why did we lose that battle in Bataan? They ran out of ammunition. They ran out of food. Some of them guys did not have food to eat. And having no recourses, they surrendered. You know, some of them fought to the death, even without resources. They are fighting for something, for patriotism. Every one of these missionaries you've heard are willing to go and to stay in Mexico or Poland or Honduras or wherever God has called them, whether or not you support them or not. Hey, I am willing to go to Poland without support to support myself. I don't want to do that. It's not that easy. I don't see very many people doing that type of ministry succeeding. I don't necessarily believe it'd be of God that way, but I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do whatever it takes so that Polish people can hear the gospel.
Amen.
Are you willing to do whatever it takes to keep us on the field? Are you willing to, it says in another passage, to stir up your gift and to give yourself wholly to it, that thy profiting may appear to all? Take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now I'd like to say this also. I go to Poland not only for those, I go to Poland for my own self. He says here, if you take heed to these things, you will save thyself. Now he's not talking about salvation in the sense of I'll be saved from hell. But you know I'll be saved from a wasted life. Wouldn't that be a tragedy that God gave me a ministry? God gave me an obligation. God gave me a ministry and I neglected that and then I'd lose it. He's saying here, if you would give heed to these things, if you would neglect not the gift that is in thee, you would save thyself. Hey, I go to Poland to stir you up, to get your eyes off of just here, to lift your eyes up. I go to Poland to be an example. Many reasons. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 6 he says, wherefore I put them in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And I'm going to read some more in just a minute. You know, somebody says, well, aren't you afraid? Afraid of what? Well, you know, it's new. Well, yeah, it's new. It's new. It's different. Don't you have any fears? Yes, I have one fear. Every house I go to, they're going to serve me sauerkraut. Now, that's a fear for me. You know, worried about, you know, getting blown up or the Russians taking back over Poland or things like that. No, that doesn't, you know, I'm not really worried about it. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. Aren't you afraid to stand out in the street and people throwing rocks at you? Honestly, no. Not until after it's done, then I get home, I start thinking about it. You know, you could have been killed, Brent. But up until this point, no. Aren't you afraid to go out and do that again? Honestly, no. Why? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. Do you like the problems and the affliction? No, I do not. I do not like being put in a police car physically, dragged in by your belt, and dragged off the outside of town and dropped off where you have to walk back. I don't like those things. No. But other things move me. And God says, stir up the gift which is in you. And why do we even have a mission conference? But to stir up these things. To remind you that this life is going to come to a close. To remind you that you are not to work in order to gain, that you are to work in order to give. Amen. Your life, even as an everyday American housewife or worker or Joe on the street, your life as a believer is part of the ministry. You see, all of America fought World War II. And that's where we went wrong in Vietnam. Not all of America fought in that war. And that's where we'll go wrong in the idea of missions when we think it's the missionaries that do the job and nobody else has the responsibility. Support is just as important as those that preach. Hey, God has given me the ministry of preaching, and therefore I go. Has God given you the ministry of prayer? Do you pray? Has God given you the ministry of giving? Do you give? What are you doing in this great effort to win the lost? God says, stir it up. Stir it up. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Who has said this morning, you know, we've knocked on doors and it's caused no problem. We get out and preach and it causes problems. Very definite. That's the scriptural way. Now again, I emphasize because I've been very foolish in this and many other missionaries have been very foolish in this. We don't go out to cause problems. We need to be careful that our words are not chosen in order to provoke. We need to be careful that our attitudes are not in such that we try to provoke people. We are trying to win people. But if you mark it down, my friend, if you preach the Bible, some people are going to be offended. Hey, do you like it when somebody comes in the middle of the night and turns the light on? Huh? You really get irate, don't you? Huh? You're trying to get some sleep and somebody comes in and turns the light on. I want you to know the world desires to be left alone. Isn't that the attitude of many disciples? They said that of Lazarus. Well, Lord, he sleepeth. Let him alone. No, I got to go wake him up. Isn't that our ministry? We got to go and wake them up. And just as it irritates you when light is cast on in darkness, it irritates you. Your eyes are affected and you're all right. So will be the gospel. And you will suffer for it. There will be afflictions. I'm going to read this again. I know you probably heard it, but I'll tell you again. It's good for you. This is what Martin Luther had to say about it. He said, do not think that the gospel can be advanced without tumult, trouble, and uproar. And yet we have been convinced ourselves that somehow, somebody said, sugarcoat the gospel. Somehow that we can, you know, hide the pill in the food, you know, and then they'll swallow it. No, I don't think that's right. God is light, and Him is no darkness at all. Jesus never went around deceiving people. He spoke forthrightly. He spoke in truth and honesty. He didn't go around making friends with people, and after making friends with them, trying to gain their confidence, He went in and told it like it is. Hey, sometimes Brother Bruce was speaking the other night, He made it very difficult for people to get what they wanted. It seemed like, I remember one fellow coming up and said, "Hey, Lord, you know, what can I do to get eternal life?" And you know, most of them would say, "Oh, this is great. I'm so glad you'd like to join the fellowship and all this thing. That's just so wonderful." Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one. You want life? Keep the commandments." "Well, you know, Lord, I've done all that." "Oh, yes, but one thing you lack. Sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come follow me." Now, how's that speaking, you know, real nice to him? No. We must be honest with people. In being honest with people, not being ugly with people, notice the difference. Being honest with people, being bold is not being ugly. Hey, we all know how to provoke people. We all know how to irritate people. I don't think it's our ministry to irritate. I think it's our, and you mark it down, I've irritated people. Hey, I confess, I have the gift of irritating. I do irritate. I get on people's nerves. That's Bill. Like, "Hey, man, sometimes, oh man, I'm glad you're going to Poland, man." I do irritate people. That's Debbie. "Hey, what's wrong? What's going on over here? Sauerkraut and weenies again? Oh man." Gets on people's nerves. Ask Roland. You know, ask some of these brothers that have been around me a while. I do irritate people. But you know, that's not our ministry. Allowing the gospel to irritate people and then suffering as a Christian for is God's way. But if you suffer because you're just too stupid to learn from God, if you suffer because you provoke them to anger, well, there's no glory. What's it say? "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, and for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Paul said, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Brother, sisters, I have a gift that God has given to me, that, as Marty says, we don't know why, but that's what God did. And therefore I surrender myself to His will. What we'd ask you to do tonight, what I would ask you to do tonight, is stir up the gift of God in thee. Amen. Surrender yourself to whatever God tells you to do. You do your part, I'll do my part, and we'll win the victory.
Amen.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Stir it up, and let's win this world for Christ.
Amen. Amen.